And welcome to our program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you very much for joining us here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, bringing new choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Maybe your dream is to make it a better world where you live, maybe a better world overall. And we're going to be talking about the world in which we live, the realities of that world, and what it means to our guest, the author of The Great Simulator, Your Practical Guide to Recognizing the Amazing Illusion You Are Experiencing. My guest is David McCready, and David, I want to thank you very much for joining us here on the program and Tell Me Your Story. It's great to have you with us.
Hello, Richard. It's great to be with you.
I do have to say that I am grateful and thankful that your book is not a mammoth read. It's not a huge encyclopedia compendium like we get a lot of those, and some of those are very helpful, but this is, for the most part, it's very concise, and it is also, it can be found actually in two parts put together in one book. I'm curious as to why you chose to split it into two parts rather than just making it one book.
Well, the simple answer is we wanted to give as many people as possible a free taste of the basic message and information in it, so the first part of it can be downloaded by anyone who's got an internet connection. And it gives a very comprehensive description of much of how the illusion of life on Earth is created.
Well, I like what you have to say. The front cover is really very interesting because it has a picture of the Earth from space. And you have an arrow pointing to the Earth, and then it is captioned, "You are not here." Okay, so I'm going to open up, if you will, Pandora's box and say, what do you mean we are not here, i.e. on Earth?
I'll give you a little bit of the background of how that came about, and that'll then answer the question. I do a lot of developmental work with people, helping them develop their psychic and spiritual skills. And we spend a lot of time bumping into our spiritual guides. Some of these might be deceased relatives who passed on. Occasionally you might meet a child who's coming into your life but hasn't got born yet, and some other people who are never going to get born here at all on Earth. And when you're chatting away to these characters, they see the life that we feel we're living down here is very different. From their point of view, we're not here at all. We're in a kind of artificial reality chamber, and we've put on an artificial reality suit and some nice goggles, and we think we're human beings. And from their point of view, they're very clear that, well, we're not human beings. We're some amazing soul spirit beings, and we're definitely not here on Earth. The place doesn't really exist from their point of view.
Well, I know that science is beginning to verify, if not that fact, at least that theoretical conclusion, because they're beginning to support the argument, if you will, that all, everything, even we as the human being, are nothing more than energy. We're nothing more than just that, particles of energy. And so it begins to unravel the solidity, if you will, of this universe, and then it gets you to start questioning, who am I, how did I get here, what am I doing here, and where am I going? Those kinds of questions become even more profound when we don't have the solidity of this reality to hang our hat on, if you will.
This is a lot of what the book is about. It's giving people a step-by-step guide so they can check out for themselves why they are here, what they're up to. Because it's really not good enough if someone tells you what the answer is. They might be right, they might be wrong. You should know these things for yourself. And there's an amazing evolution going on right now whereby lots and lots of human beings are suddenly getting to discover their own answers, not third hand, but personally. And that's what we're trying to do in this work, accelerate people's ability to find their own truth.
Well, now, that raises an interesting question as we fast approach our first break here. That raises an interesting question I'll have you answer afterwards, and that is, well, then why would we want to read your book? And we're going to discuss that further as we continue here, David, because I am very intrigued by what you have to say in The Great Stimulator. And again,
simulator,
I beg your pardon. It's like a holodeck. There we go. The Great Simulator. And it is your practical guide to recognizing the amazing illusion you are experiencing. David McCready is my guest, and we will also be giving out a website as we continue here on the program. And this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we're going to continue this illusion of Tell Me Your Story here. Just stay with us. We'll be right back.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your story.
Tell Me Your Story is the name of the program. I'm your host, Richard Dugan, and my guest is David McCready. He is the author of The Great Simulator. It is your practical guide to recognizing the amazing illusion you are experiencing. And David, it kind of puts a different spin on this program and this interview, because I begin to wonder then what you and I are doing here, sharing this proverbial hour together, sharing the concepts of The Great Simulator when we aren't really here. So maybe we can kind of start from that particular perspective. And what you said as we took our first break, and that is, if you want us to listen to ourselves, to listen to the inner voice, the still small voice, the guides, if you will, that only we can access, let's say they were our ancestors and so forth, why would we need David McCready's book, The Great Simulator, to enlighten us, if you will?
Well, people are often wanting to have that sort of enlightenment, and they're hoping someone in the heavens will tell them what to do and how to live their lives. And that's often where a misunderstanding about the purpose of your guides crops up. They're not there to tell you what to do. They're there to help you become more self-aware. It's the best way of putting it. Mm-hmm. So if you go asking them for the results of the latest horse race or some lottery, they tend not to give it most of the time, because they're trying to get you to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, what we seem to be up to in some form or other here on Earth is noticing what we really are, not our human being selves, but that inner core, that inner light, which is the one that makes the choices anyway. That's the driving dynamic force that drives your life forward. Whatever sort of life you might be having, that inner light is making it all occur.
So we go back to the cliche phrase that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, but spiritual beings having a human experience. Is that kind of roll it up in a nutshell of sorts?
I couldn't have put it better.
All right. So then let's talk a little bit more about this experience that, as you basically put in the subtitle, that we have created. And I've often said this for probably about 15 or 20 years or more. I don't know whether I created myself and this universe. I don't have any hard evidence to support that theory or that conclusion, but I don't have any evidence to the contrary, that I didn't.
Okay, now we're right into the purpose of this book, and that is, there are simple techniques that allow you to recover that evidence and find these things out personally, and that's what we're trying to share with everyone, so that they can check this out for themselves.
Okay.
Because it's bandied around, you're the creator of your own life, but on a day-to-day basis, you're not going to see any obvious evidence of that. And when you don't feel yourself to be the creator of your own life, it often makes you feel you're having to put up with it. It's something you endure. And when people are in that frame of mind, they're not actively going after the choices they can make. They just let life roll along. And the show we're on here today is about encouraging people to make more choices. And the more you realize you are indeed the creator, the more you're going to actively be making those choices and living a new and more exciting life as a result of making those choices.
That's really what it comes down to, as our subtitle is, giving you choices. And that's what we're here today doing, is giving you other options, other possibilities that you may have thought of. And maybe you never, maybe some of the stuff is just right over the top of your head, but you're going, this is kind of interesting, because it opens up an interesting door for people who say, you know, well, there are certain things that I really would like. I mean, you know, I lost my job, or, you know, whatever the circumstances are. And it's like, this has been going on for years in my life. And when am I going to, you know, win the lottery, or do all of these different things that I've always dreamed of doing as a little kid? I wanted to become, and it just never materialized. And so that's only part of what you're talking about. It's not totally focusing on those kinds of material things, but it certainly can have an impact, right?
Okay, well, let's take things. Supposing someone's having a difficult life,
mm-hmm.
always at some level, they're making a choice to be in that situation. And I'll take it right back to even a small child who mightn't obviously be exercising much choice. One day I was walking to work, and my son had been born only a few months before, and I had been arguing with my wife, as one does from time to time, and I was thinking I was not a great dad, and I had this lovely son, you know, God's gift here on earth, this lovely son, and I wasn't doing a good enough job as a dad. And then it struck me that I'd seen this son in the spirit world for about 10 years before he ever got born. In fact, during about the last 5 years before he got born, he started showing up with his sister, who did indeed follow him here.
Mm-hmm.
And it did strike me that much as I mightn't have been the best of dads that day, he must have known to some degree what his parents were like before he got into it, because he showed up a lot, and a lot of people I knew met him as well before he was ever born, and he must have known his parents. So even at that stage as a child, you have been making choices that put yourself in challenging situations. So when people say, why don't I have the right job, or why am I stuck in some situation or other, they're often forgetting that they're actively making choices that keep them in that situation they're complaining about. And as part of developing a greater self-awareness, we begin to notice how this is going on. It's not haphazard. Everyone is actively choosing the situation they're in, and it's great when they start to notice, because they get their choices back.
Well, we want to give that back to folks. And that's one of the interesting things that I have noticed, and that is we have never not had choice, in spite of what we have been taught and told and had it drummed into us, whether it was from a school or church or parents. We have always had choice. Even the folks who spend their final hours, days, weeks, months, years, say in nursing homes, convalescent homes, wherever it is, we still make choices every day. We're just not conscious. And that kind of brings me to this next point, but before we get to that, I want to make sure that I let people know we're talking with David McCready. He's the author of The Great Simulator, Your Practical Guide to Recognizing the Amazing Illusion You Are Experiencing. You can go to greatsimulator.com. That's greatsimulator.com. That's the website. You can go there. There's training and personal development. You can join a large number of people who are having who have benefited from the unique and highly effective training training that is offered. There's personal one-on-one training, group courses, helpful personal development, and so forth. So go to greatsimulator.com if you'd like to find out more. And they can reach you, David, by just emailing you at david@greatsimulator.com. That's again david@greatsimulator.com. Now, the fascinating thing about all of this business with choice is that, again, you know, we've been, because you kind of made the statement that kind of spurred this in my mind, that we've always had choice. It's not like, you know, we're being told, oh, and now you have it. You didn't before, but now you do. We've always had it, but we've not been doing it consciously. We haven't been aware. I use the example of going to work. Now, do you choose every morning to get up and go to work? Most people don't. The alarm clock goes off, and guess what? Autopilot. And off they go. But when was the last time you heard of somebody who heard the alarm, woke up, and said, I'm going to do something different today? And they jump in a car and they drive cross country or something. Totally freaking family and friends and coworkers out. Where is he? What happened to him? You know? And they go off on this grand adventure that they're doing more consciously. Is that sort of the difference?
That's certainly a difference. One of the things that stops us making those choices is, in our human being state, we're terrified of what other people think about us. It's quite surprising how much we conform in lots and lots of ways, in our behavior, the way we dress ourselves, just how we interact with others. We're very frightened of upsetting others. And it's not upsetting them negatively a lot of the time. Sometimes it's upsetting them by doing positive things. If you do something very positive in your life, other people often don't thank you for it because you've just revealed the fact that choices are possible. They've been busy convincing themselves that these choices weren't, and your go-ahead, have-a-better-life action is proving to them that they'd be missing out on something, and they don't always want to know that news. So people can be very disapproving when you make these changes, so don't be surprised if they are.
One of the things I've also said to people is this, I'd like you to comment on this, and that is, you can't change other people is what we're told. Now, you may not be able to do it consciously, but by virtue of you making new choices in your life, by changing yourself, guess what? You change people around you. Because of what you just said about the people who are wondering, what in the world is this guy? Has he gone off his rocker? I mean, David, you were an engineer.
That's right. A structural engineer. I used to work on building projects. And I always felt there was something more to this universe. These invisible things, rather like the invisible non-existent matter that makes us. I thought, I want to know more about this. And I went and learned a lot of skills that allowed me to project my consciousness outside of my body. And when I got just about good enough at it to do it reliably, I then told nearly everyone. And I'd left the country I was in at the time and moved to London and just started afresh in a whole new business. And the very few people I did tell what I was up to, for the most part, thought I was completely mad. Not as in angry, mm-hmm. but as in stupid idiot.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good job, he's got a good business, why is he gone? And I thought, these people, on the most part, won't understand, and if I listen to them, they'll undermine what I'm up to. I just have to go ahead and get on with it.
Well,
change country, start again.
Well, there you go. And of course, you know, some would say, well, but, you know, you're an engineer, so it means you're that logical thinking, rational individual. And so they don't seem to place that same element when you go off into a totally obscure and different direction of helping people to recognize and reconnect with this whole aspect of who they are. And yet, well, in one sense, wouldn't you say that your decision was very logical, at least from your perspective?
It was to say, I'd experienced life as an engineer, and now I wanted to experience life as an etheric engineer and start to understand these esoteric subjects and be able to explain them to others and put it in a very coherent and easy-to-read form. And if anyone looks on the website of greatsimulator.com, they can get a free download of the first part of the book, and they will find it's all laid out in a very straightforward, easy-to-understand way. I'm using the engineer's mind and ability to communicate what's going on to all of us in a way that you can start to understand.
So tell me, this was about a little more than 10 years ago that this change for you came about. So tell me, what was the catalyst? What was there one significant event that finally flipped the switch for you and said, I can't do this anymore. I have to go this other direction.
A couple of switches flipped, and I'll give you an example about what one of the main ones was like. I'd learnt the basic skills of how to say hello to a few of my spirit friends, and that was going along nicely. And one day, just after Christmas, before New Year, I was sitting at home when the phone rang with a customer for whom had done a building project, asking if I'd come back and sort out a few snags that eventually always crop up on any large project, something goes wrong. But at that moment, I had this sense of, I've done enough of this job here. That's fine, I'll sort this person out and do a few more jobs in the future, but I am basically quitting this, and I'm going to put a plan into action that'll get me out of it. It took about 18 months to actualize that, but I did it. But anyway, when I had that at that moment, in an entertaining way, it was as if people in the heavens around me were going, hooray, he's got it.
I'm curious as to how your wife took that. I mean, engineering, from what little I know of it, is a fairly lucrative career. You know, it's not a bad life as far as the money's concerned, and the people that you associate with and the things that you create are going to be around for decades, if not maybe centuries. That's a pretty neat legacy to leave behind, and yet you left that all behind.
Well, just to add in the wife one, I'm English-born, but at the time I was living in Ireland, and I'd been going out with an Irish girlfriend who then become my Irish fiancé, and she was extremely upset about it. She was at the front of the crowd of people who knew what I was up to and saying, I'm an idiot. She really did not want me to go. And at the end of the day, she came and visited me in England and stuff, but she just didn't want to stay. So that was the end of that relationship. And when that relationship did end, a couple of weeks later, I then found myself with a new fiance, new wife-to-be, and she's my wife now. The change was very rapid when it happened, finally.
Wow. Well, and again, that goes to prove the point that you can't change other people maybe directly, but you certainly make changes in people indirectly.
Just a strange thing about that. I actually had got impressions of who my wife-to-be was going to be. I could often see what she'd look like. Again, some of my clients had also picked up these images of her, as one of them giving a speech on our wedding day said, we all knew she was coming.
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. It's wonderful and even better when you do get that foresight. But what bothers me is the hindsight that everybody wants to give you if a relationship doesn't work out. Well, I could have told you that you shouldn't have been with that person. I'm going, well, why didn't you? Where were you when I needed you to tell me that? Well, I didn't want to interfere. You know, I love that. But nonetheless, we are talking with David McCready, and he is the author of The Great Simulator. And we are basically experiencing an illusion here, and we actually can get ourselves out of that illusion. David, what are some of the sources of information that you have studied and researched over, say, the last 10 years or so, obviously since you made the change in your life that has brought you to this point? Any particular religious groups or specific books or individuals or even events that have happened that have really made an impact on you that have really continued to spur you forward?
Okay. This might sound an odd story, but 99% of the research that went into producing that book was done from first principles without the aid of any particular religious group or any outside party training me or lecturing in the public, in it in an earthly sense. That book was produced from sitting with clients one-to-one, and every time you see a client, everyone has with them a team of helpful guiding spirits who are teaching them and training them stuff. And I was sitting in on the training these clients were getting. I'm a medium, is what I do now, and I'd be mediumistically passing on information about how you develop yourself, how you become more self-aware, how you see things in the spirit world, how you do astral projection. I was sitting in on all of this, and the book was really a consequence of writing down what had worked with people and what we'd discovered. So if you'd say, how was it done? There were no real earthly teachers, no gurus here. If you did this in a cave somewhere, it could have been done in a cave, quite literally. Just sit down in a cave and find all these things out from first principles of just getting stuck into it and learning how to connect with the real world you're in and seeing beyond the illusion of this earth we're having fun on.
Well, I have to say that for me, when I look back on my life and the changes, the choices that I've made that have changed my life, that have brought me to where I am today, it is a rather remarkable path, and some would even say rather circuitous, that I don't know how you got where you are from where you were, but I've always believed that I've always been in the right place at the right time, that the events in my life are you know, pretty remarkable in that respect. And, you know, it's just, you know, I can never really totally explain it. All I know is, I mean, here I am, and here we are talking with David McCready about his book, The Great Simulator. And I'm curious as to, did your process of, as you put it, helping people, because there's no real professional title that you've been able to come up with, but helping people is, it works for me. Was the book the outgrowth of that process?
It's very much this. When you're working with people, you get to see quite literally what works, what benefits someone's life. And you're like picking up the results. It's like if you're in a laboratory and trying a series of experiments and find what works and what doesn't, Thomas Edison, he went into his laboratory and he tried out, I think, about 300 different materials that would make a good light bulb filament. He just tried them all out and he found what would work. Here, we do quite as many variations, but we'd find what would really work and help people. And one of the most profound things that jumped out was that when people recognized that they weren't actually here on Earth at all, they started to function considerably more efficiently. They would make more choices in their lives. They would deal with demanding situations better. Realizing they weren't alive on Earth, but just experiencing the illusion of it, snapped them out of the illusion that they were stuck here. And it made them very much more dynamic. And they say, yeah, I'm getting back memories of why I wanted to do this life, so I'm going to really engage in it. So this is the kind of process I was going through, and when we'd done a decade's research, it was time to write it down properly.
And how has your friendship base changed? I mean, obviously, your first fiance was no more in the respect of a relationship, but what about your other friends, your family, especially when you made that monumental decision? From their perspective, for you, it was like, this is obvious. I got to do this. There's no other question. Do you still associate with any of the folks that you did before you made the change?
Well, I still associate quite well with my family, and things are very good on that front. With a lot of the people I used to know in Ireland, where I was living at the time, they drifted away. It's like they fell away. Mm-hmm. But this is common of any growth process. If you have one person in a growth process who moves forward, if their friends or family don't move with them, they will fall away. And that happens very consistently. So when we're talking on the show here about changing yourself, if the people around you don't change with you, you'll find over time, suddenly they're gone.
Yeah.
But you have new friends. You will always bump into new people. You won't be left alone. And the chances are the new people will be a lot more interesting and fun than the ones you used to have. So don't be afraid.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'll always have friends because they're always going to be like-minded folks. And I have to say that one of my wife's and my dreams is to move to and live in Ireland. We've been there twice. Absolutely love the country and the people. Yeah. Have already found a small town to live in. And it's just an amazing thing. And if you just joined us, I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with the author of The Great Simulator. And this is a fascinating book. It has two parts to it. You have access to part one on the website. And you can. This is basically your practical guide to recognizing the amazing illusion you are experiencing. I have to say, David, that there's a wonderful comedian here in the States. His name is Lewis Black. And I love the way that he elongates certain words, like the word illusion, especially when he's talking about our government. And it, the way he phrases it, you're living in an illusion. And I maybe that's a fun way of putting it, because we are creating this illusion as we go through our lives. And you are working through this work, this book, The Great Simulator, to help people to be consciously aware of that fact, to make new choices, to, shall we say, recreate or reform the illusion that they're living in this world? Is that a fair way to put it?
This is a very good way to put it. And to add a bit more depth to what we mean by illusion, the character that you live through, the personality you have, is a major part of the illusion. So when we're talking about making choices, you should realize that the character you think you have today is not something you have to drag along with you and trying to reform it here and there to get better results. You've been putting it into your body in the first place. You can change that character by recognizing it's not you. For whatever reason, you were choosing to adopt it, and for whatever reason, you can also choose to adopt some new character aspects. And this can be done very easily.
And we're going to talk about that. By the way, the website is greatsimulator.com. That's greatsimulator.com. Also available, we are linked to greatsimulator.com at richarddugan.com. You can go there, not only listen to this program again, but also go to David's website and find out more. Let's talk about some of those steps, some of the ways in which we can get into this process of doing this more consciously, of reforming, reshaping, making new choices, and so forth. And I guess the best place to start is with step one.
The best step one is to learn how to breathe better. And what we mean by this is, we normally breathe from the top of our chests because we're having so many anxious thoughts and daydreams that our body is in a semi-state of fight or flight. What I mean by that is, we're programmed by evolution to run away from vicious animals or have lots of adrenaline to go and fight and kill beasts. Now, when we keep on imagining worrisome things in our heads, we're telling our bodies that we're ready for another fight, and this tenses up all our lower stomach muscles, and the result is that you can't breathe deeply enough to actually stay settled and more self-aware. So the first step is to actually relearn how to breathe more deeply into your body, and if you do this nicely while you're listening, you'll start to find that you also straighten up, because a lot of people are a bit hunched over because the whole front side of their body is under excessive tension.
I know that I've seen a lot of elderly men with canes walking up and down the street, and some women, too, that are hunched forward with a big hump on their back as well.
Yeah.
That's a pretty sad, and I keep saying to myself, that is not the illusion I want for when I reach that age. I'm sorry. I plan to stand upright. As a matter of fact, when I'm walking up and down State Street here in Santa Barbara, I do everything I can to make sure that I'm walking straight up, and I'm hopefully looking proud and confident and in control of my life. So that's step one, is learning to breathe correctly.
And here's a couple of indicators if you're doing it nicely. The first thing is, you'll find that you're breathing deeply when you're not thinking about it, as opposed to when you remember once a week or whatever it turns out to be. Mm-hmm. So you can do it regularly. And the next one is, if you're doing that breathing better, you'll find that you're naturally smiling, which is something else you'll find a lot of people don't do much of the time.
Now that's rather interesting, because, and going along with that, every once in a while I will be reminded by someone, or they will bring it to my attention. Are you humming? Are you singing? You know? And sometimes it just comes out. It's there, and I'm not even consciously aware that I'm doing it. It's just the little songs, they pop into my head, and the next thing I know, I'm kind of humming along, going down the street. Is that kind of play along into that as well?
That's going in the right direction.
Okay.
Look, to get more of this self-awareness, the humming along would need to go quiet for a while so that you can begin to notice more things. When we're humming, we're amusing ourselves, but at least we're amusing ourselves in a happier state, which at least is a good starting point for this.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing on getting more self-awareness is to reconnect with the natural world around you, with nature. Now, many of us notice, if you go out into a wonderful park or somewhere with great landscape, you just feel better. Have you experienced that yourself?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, as at the time of this recording of the program, I have been working on an expansion of our chicken run. And I love being out there and working, of course, with all these different materials, but also just being around these wonderful little birds that also provide us with great eggs. But there's something about being around them that is almost intoxicating.
This is a thing you can do almost wherever you are. Even if you're in a city, there'll always be some kind of wildlife or plants around you. Mm-hmm. It might be a plant in your room or a tree outside. But wherever you are, just notice nature. And when you connect with nature just by noticing it, the natural world sucks a lot of what we call our negative feelings out of us. Because from the perspective of plants, for example, our negative feelings are rather exciting to them. Now, they don't want you to yell and scream at them. But if you're just there standing, say, beside a big tree or a nice rose bed or even a lawn, you'll find a lot of your negative feelings are sucked away, and that helps you breathe better still. So that's step number two, connect with nature more.
I think that is a key message that is coming out from a lot of different quarters as we do these programs. We're hearing that particular piece of advice more and more, that in order for us to really make changes in our world, and in ourselves, is just that, to reconnect with nature in whatever fashion. A matter of fact, my wife and I we've made it a practice following the radio broadcasts. We take a backpack with a couple of wine glasses and a bottle of wine and some cheese and some other wonderful little hors d'oeuvres, a couple of beach chairs, and we go out to the beach, sit next to the pier, and just for an hour, just enjoy the sounds and the smells and the feeling of just being close to the water, which is the reason I moved here in the first place.
Oh, that's absolutely excellent. Water, be it a lake or an ocean, is wonderful for that nature connect. So that's a great example.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move right along.
Absolutely.
Step number three to do this. Now, this is the one that at first strains people's version of reality, but it's a bit of a weird one. I'll talk you through it. It's noticing that you're not alone. Now, you might have relatives who've passed on, or maybe for young people, you've children who've yet to be born to you. It doesn't really matter. You might realize that there's some sort of guiding angels, perhaps, out there. Now, the important thing about noticing you're not alone is you don't have to go imagining it. The trick to doing this is to very gently feel it. I'll talk people through a simple exercise to do this right now. What you first will do is we do our breathing. So you're going to breathe a little bit deeper, smiling as you do it, and allow yourself just to connect to nature around you. Just notice somewhere nearby there'll be trees, oceans, even if they're through the wall of the building you're in, they're there somewhere. Smile as you're doing this, and it's a bit like, even though we feel we're on Earth, we're really standing in a kind of artificial reality room. and all our friends are around us. And as you do that, some of you feel a little bit of a sort of chill go through you, like, hey, who turned on the air conditioning, or what's going on? And that's because all around us, you've got your spirit friends who aren't born, aren't in this world, but they're watching you and they're helping. So why not send out a bit of a smile to them, because they're often giving you intuitive tips. They're trying to drop into your subconscious thoughts and feelings to help you through this adventure you're on.
Interesting.
And as you do that, you'll also find you get more of a smile coming onto your face, because it's great for them to say even a little bit of a hello and give you that feeling. How are you feeling as you're doing this, Richard?
Actually, I feel almost a shot of adrenaline and a surge of energy and excitement as well.
Yeah. So there you go. Let's go through these steps again. One was to breathe better with more of a smile.
Mm-hmm.
Two was allow yourself to be grounded better.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do that, no imagining, but just allow yourself to feel that your friends are all around you, and it may make the odd little impression in your head. You might get the impression that someone is out there, and when you're not imagining too much stuff, those thoughts turn into your head, and you can get little pictures occasionally. You've got a few friends around you helping you out, and just feel how your body energy changes. What does it feel like for you, Richard, as we're going through it again?
I did get that little bit of a chill as we went through that process. Like I said, the smile, because I'm very much aware of, even though I'm not looking through a window, I'm aware, as you said, of the various trees and plants and so forth. We have several parks that are very near to the studio here. And even in a chorus group that I'm a member of, when we are sitting and rehearsing, I cannot sit back in the chair. It's just uncomfortable because, of course, we're taught to breathe from the diaphragm, as you have described, breathing better, not from the chest.
Yeah.
And even now, as we're talking, I require a belt to hold my pants up, and so I don't want that so tight that I can't breathe. So there is, it is such a difference, and it does make you much more conscious, or makes me much more conscious of how I'm sitting and standing. And again, if I'm breathing correctly, if I'm breathing more deeply, that I think is the biggest change for me, is becoming more consciously aware of my posture and then in turn of my breathing. And that makes a lot of difference.
So when we're doing this, we're able to become more aware of things. For example, if you've got your hands free and you put your two hands near to each other as if you were going to clap, but don't put them together, most of you listening will be able to feel the energy between your hands.
Yes.
And if you do that, sometimes it feels warm, sometimes tingly. There's 100 different things. And just do that a few times. And now, to give you all a bit of a tease, let some of your guiding spirits, your angelic friends around you, stroke your aura. It's almost like they'll stroke some of your body from the outside, and you'll feel a few more weird chills and sensations, because here's the joke. You're not alone. You're in the midst of this wonderful illusion you wanted to experience. And right now, on this show, your friends are getting to, it's almost like give you a little rub, give you a little pat, to say, we're here, pay attention.
It fascinates me, the simple techniques that you've described, that other people also utilize. The simple ones seem to have the most profound impact when we put them into practice, and it makes us that much more aware of our surroundings. I mean, they say that I live in paradise here on the central coast of California. And whether it's raining or the marine layers rolled in or it's sunny skies, I feel the same way, that, look where I'm living. This is fantastic. And then, of course, beginning the process of bringing into my world people such as yourself, David McCready, and this wonderful opportunity that we have. And this is the beginning. These are the beginning stages, if you will, the steps for making new choices. And if I'm understanding correctly, David, this is the process that will bring new ideas to mind.
This is exactly right, because in order to let new ideas come into us so that we can make these new choices, it helps to let go of some of the clutter. And I'll give you an example of what people often do. They feel a crisis in their life that they've got to start making choices. And they often feel they could do with some heavenly inspiration. They want someone out there to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they often forget that they're here to make those choices. So it would often be counterproductive if our heavenly friends stepped in and gave us all the answers. So instead of saying, what do I do next? Do these sort of breathing, settling exercises and see what your friends from the heavens can make you aware that you're already creating. I'll say that again. What are you already creating? Because if you notice what you're creating, then you've a chance of starting to steer it and become aware of the choices you're already making. We spoke of this at the start of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Observe what you're doing that's put you in this position.
Absolutely.
And here's the next tip, the simple techniques. If it's very serious in terms of what you sense and the answer you get, well, you're making a bad job of it and start again.
It's not supposed to be serious.
Exactly.
If you start
to notice things that make you laugh, you're beginning to notice this wonderful illusion you're creating, and you're picking up how, in fact, you're having a bit of fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is what we want you to do.
All right.
Just relaxing exercises that allow you to start to notice the funny side of what's going on, because when you do that, you're going to get a lot more choices. You can step out of some old personalities and begin to connect with some new ones.
Absolutely. David McCready is my guest, the author of The Great Simulator. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. My guest in this program is David McCready, the author of The Great Simulator and the GreatSimulator.com. That's GreatSimulator.com is the website. We encourage you to check it out. David, we are fast approaching the end of our program, and I have one final question for you. We could go on for another hour, and I'd love to have you back to discuss this even further. And the question that I have for you to wrap up this program, with all of the things that are available to do, you've already done some remarkable things in engineering and so forth, in about 30 seconds, of all the things that there are to do, why this? Why now?
There's an incredible evolution going on right now, and the whole human race is getting an upgrade, a change. So what you'll find coming into your communities of people around you are people with messages and practical instructions, not something theoretical, but something practical that can really help you change. They're all around you. Start to notice them. I'm on that grander team. I don't know who most of these people are, but I keep bumping into them. So pay attention to this. You're going through an evolution in your own lifetime, and you're going to be a more amazing person than you ever thought.
David McCready, thank you so much for joining us on the program. The book is The Great Simulator. This is your practical guide to recognizing the amazing illusion you are experiencing. The website, greatsimulator.com. We're linked to it at richarddugan.com, and this program is also available on the website, richarddugan.com. Again, my thanks to David McCready. I thank you for joining us. Love to all. Have a great weekend.